Another day, another opportunity. You know, I like think sometimes, like when I'm in India or I'm in some of these countries, I go to some of these places. Like when you're in India, you just leave Delhi. You go 2 hours outside Delhi, and it's like a whole different world, you know? Like there's some very rural spots that people are, and these people just like you're born in this little pueblo or this little village. And you're just like, that's it, that's your life. You know, you get married off to another family. It's usually some kind of arranged marriage. And you farm, you take care of the kids, you make textiles, you make pottery, and you know, you take care of animals. We don't realize that most of the world is actually living like that. Because most of us watching this are probably in America and the US and somewhere in Europe, you know, we're in like in modern developed nations. And it's just like very interesting when you leave our little bubble. Our wealth depends on the poverty of the world. I don't know if the whole world can be thriving in the way that we are thriving. Because even if you're homeless in the United States, that's, and I'm not going to say it's a choice because obviously there are things that are beyond people's control, but here in the United States, you have so much opportunity that people that live in a village in India don't have. You know, we have just so much opportunity. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I mean, you can make more money begging on the street here in the United States than people working normal jobs in India make, you know? But it's we are very privileged. Even the least privileged among us are very privileged compared to what the rest of the world is experiencing. And it's very interesting to see what kind of problems a society creates when they don't really have problems. When we're comfortable, we're overfed, we're over entertained, we are, you know, we are overworked. We don't have any real problems outside of like sort of like these outside of like exploitation. We're getting robbed by our government, we're getting robbed by politicians, but we don't have the kind of problems of like starvation. You don't know where your next meal is going to come from. You don't have a roof over your head. You know, you're 13 years old, about to get married off to some man. We don't have these issues in our country. And most of the world does. Most of the world lives on a couple dollars a day. Most of the world is just experiencing a level of suffering that would be, you know, very, it would be like almost if you knew someone, if your neighbor was living the way average people in India are living, you'd have no choice but to stop and help. But I guess because like these countries are so far and we're so removed from them that it's just it doesn't matter, you know. And we also have our own problems. We have our own problems. Just because our problems aren't the same doesn't make them not real problems. But sometimes we can shut the fuck up over here on the side of the world because who gives a fuck if your drive-through order is taking too long or you have to wait on hold? Yo, thank you so much for the donation, Mr. Okil. 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 Away. Awakil. So I'll be back in India in January 3rd. I land in Delhi. Check this out. Some of you guys might not have heard this, but this is a very cool thing I'm doing. And I believe that what I'm gonna do is going to be like a historical event. So some of you guys might know the story of Terence McKenna and his brother and this little group going to La Charrera in Colombia or somewhere in the Amazon or something like that. And they were looking for, I don't know what they were looking for. I guess they were looking for some psychedelic, and they ended up finding the mushroom. Maybe someone in here is more familiar than the story than me. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, this chain of events of Terence McKenna and his brother going to La Charrera caused a like psychedelic, it became psychedelic history. That story caused a chain of events that led to my YouTube channel, more or less. So I think that this thing I'm doing in India will also set off a chain of events that will be so important in the world of spirituality. So some of you guys may have seen Bhavani Baba on my YouTube channel. Bhavani Baba is a Hindu, a Gori, sadhu. A sadhu in India is somebody that has sacrificed everything. It's like the stories in the Bible. You know, you hear of Moses or these kind of mystics. They go off into the forest. You know, they leave everything, leave their families, leave all their belongings, and they go seeking God. The sadhu is this character. The sadhu is the living embodiment of that energy. So these sadhus in India, they leave everything. They drop everything, no clothes, no money, no families, no attachments. And they wander off seeking God. And Bhavani Baba is somebody that I have been spending time with, and I believe that he is a very sincere sadhu. And I talk to him all the time. Like, we talk for at least like an hour or two every day, every other day. We talk about God, we talk about relationships, you know, like he asked me what I got going on in my life. We talk about the future, we talk about the past. And I share with him some of the experiences I've had in life because, as Westerners or as any kind of people, we kind of romanticize these types of people. People like Bhavani Baba, who has escaped the matrix, we kind of romanticize them. But at the end of the day, he's still a man. And I've broken through, you know, I've broken through and I've got to see the man in him. And I've got to see, you know, we've just talked casually, you know. And so I talked to him about these other spiritual practices that are found around the world, in the Amazon, like Terence McKenna and La Charrera, looking for, you know, I talked to him about ayahuasca. I talked to him about mushrooms. I talked to him about just these different things around the world that a sadhu in India might never have heard about. And long story short, to fasten the story up a little bit, is that I'm going to India and I'm meeting somebody there who is bringing DMT, and we are going to give Bhavani Baba and other sadhus DMT, and we're going to see what happens. I believe the world of shamanic plant, the world of visionary plant shamanism, is bona fide. This is a real spiritual practice that will change your life radically very quickly. Plants like ayahuasca, mushrooms, the other ones, even marijuana, you know. But for me, I think the most sustainable is mushrooms. So these compounds like psilocybin mushrooms have the potential to put you in the deepest trance, the deepest meditation that you will ever experience in your life. And in that trance is the mystery of self-realization. So when you're there, when you're in that space, you come back like, holy fuck. Holy fuck. I've been walking around this life and I thought this was all there is, but now I have just experienced a new depth, and it changes you. So in India, these people have found this without substances. They have found this by shutting up, by sitting down, by austerities, by moving their bodies in different ways, by doing things like putting their arm up and never putting it down. These people of India have found creative ways, and also like in places in tribal Africa, where they do dancing and stuff like that to invoke these states. There are many creative ways to invoke this space. And in India, they have a deep tradition of it. We call it yoga, union, the connection to that, whatever that is, the mystery, the great spirit, Mahadev. So we're going to give Bhavani Baba DMT and we're going to see what happens. I think this is a very important bridge to gap the world of psychedelic shamanism to yoga Sanatana Dharma, yoga Hinduism. I think this is going to be like a missile explosion of realization that's going to come out of this on the other side. I think it's going to create a new branch of spirituality. I mean, it's already existing. There's so many of us hippies that are doing this, that are using psychedelics and mixing it with yoga and coming back with profound new, you know, this new spiritual practice. People like Terence McKenna, people like Ram Dass, these were the forefathers of this. And I mean, if you look back far enough, of course, these people were using plants. The Rig Veda, the first Veda, is full of plant shamanism. But it's all lost. And this, us in this room, me, Ram Dass, all of you guys, Terence McKenna, Alan Watts, Timothy Leary, Theo Plunkett, Gaston, Gabriel, all of us are taking part in a new spirituality, a spirituality of nature, a spirituality of the ethereal world, which is the spiritual world, a spirituality of the mind, of the body, where we can take back our power, we take back our control, and we learn through yoga, through reconnecting with our breath, through reconnecting with ourselves, that we are more than our impulses. We are more than our impulses. We are more than our lust. We are more than our greed. We are more than these feelings that pop up from moment to moment and have us just chasing some dangling carrot. We are more than all of this. You are a part of some crazy mystery. Here it is right now. You're walking through it. You're like a fish in a fishbowl, not realizing, holy fuck, I'm alive in a fishbowl. Like, there is an inherent mystery that is hiding behind the veil of our impulses. Our impulses, our attachments create an illusion. It creates an identity that we call ourselves. It's called the ego in psychology. And this illusory nature that blinds us, it hypnotizes us from seeing some kind of truth behind it. It keeps us from realizing, but we don't have to, you know, we can break it. And that's my point. That's why I'm going to give Bhavani Baba DMT, is that it's going to help people break their own chains. And it's going to give people a reference point of self-realization, especially hippies and people that are indulging and curious of this plant world. The plants are speaking to us. The earth is communicating with us, and it's calling people that are listening. I know a lot of you in here have tried psychedelic plants. I know a lot of you in here are interested in reconnecting with the indigenous spiritual world. I know a lot of you are interested in knowing about yourself, because you see that there's more. You know that this society we've created is not real. You know that, right? All of us know that. So now it's time for us to seek what is real. And in India, they have this idea that's called satsang. Or in Buddhism, they call it the sangha. The homies, the spiritual homies, that's us right here. So all of us have a big duty in this lifetime, not only to wake ourselves up. Ramana Maharshi, Sri Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi said, the greatest gift that you can offer the world, the universe, is your own self-realization, because human beings are contagious creatures. You walk down the street, you see some guy, he's angry. Sorry, I got a sneeze coming. You see some guy, he's angry, and it puts you in some mood. You know, you get drawn into it. You see some person laughing and their face is all lit up. It brings you to that mood. So the greatest gift that we can offer this world is our own self-realization, because when we are in our power, when we know who we are, when you wake up and you're like, I'm not blinded by my illusions. I am like an arrow at a target right now. That brings other people to this realization. Your own stillness will bring people to their stillness. We are all mirrors for each other. We are all, like, so many of us will be like, you know, fuck you, you don't know who I am, or whatever, you know, like, because people don't know who we are, but, and we don't know who we are, but what I'm trying to say is that we don't know who we are unless these people that are causing us to be defensive, that are causing us to feel love, that are causing us to feel the emotions we feel, we only know ourselves in reference to other people. If you disagree with me, you only know yourself because I'm giving you the opportunity to formulate your identity through the disagreement. So in all ways in this life, all ways there are mirrors. You're in a room of mirrors right now, and every single mirror is pointing you to some kind of awakening. It's trying to show you something. There's a message hidden in all moments. Of course, we walk with our heads down. We walk with our heads in the clouds. The clouds are our thoughts. The clouds are our attachments. And this, again, keeps us in the hypnosis. But I mean, man, like, these mushrooms will wake you up. Hinduism will wake you up. Surrendering to Jesus will wake you up. Giving your life to Allah will wake you up. Giving your heart to another person can wake you up. Watching somebody die can wake you up. Looking at a sunrise can wake you up. So in all moments, there is an opportunity to bring it back. Who was it earlier that said another day, another opportunity, right? When we started this chat, that's the conclusion, another day, another opportunity. However that means for you, you know, God is a mountain. Spirituality is a mountain. Some of us are at the bottom of the mountain. Some of us are at the middle of the mountain. Some of us are over here in the forest. Some of us are at the peak, and we all have different perspectives. No, God is the valley and the water running through. No, God is the forest. No, God is the peak, the cold, the suffering. No, God is the rugged rocks. God is the desert of this side of the mountain that is deserted. So wherever our perspective is, this is our viewpoint of the world. This is our reflection. This is our karma to navigate through. But the truth is, the entire mountain is God. All perspectives are valid. All perspectives are true. Because we're just little humans. We don't have the capacity to see everything at once. We can't know all things. So we have to work with what we have. And as long as our spiritual practice, and it doesn't have to be some complicated spirit, you know, people like myself, we have these ideas that spirituality is some crazy adventure, going to India, seeking endlessly in mountaintops and caves for these enlightened babas to touch me and give me a kundalini experience. Spirituality is simple. It's here, it's now, it's with you, it is you, and it can be invoked in any second by simply just recognizing that your own life is a mystery. Here you are. Wow, I'm in this body. This body is slowly decaying. Now start to question what this is. Start to question what is happening. What am I a part of? Is there anything in me that is isolated from everything else that's happening? Begin to examine your life. This is the science of self-realization. This is the nature of spirituality. And you'll come to a conclusion, at least my conclusion, was that there is this divine quality, like, behind everything. Okay, so we are in a temporary universe. Everything is slowly decaying, changing, morphing,
becoming something else. Energy is transferring and doing this weird dance that is so complex we could never understand it with our human minds. But here we are. We're in it. So if you examine this long enough, you notice that there's this eternal background. Whatever time is, whatever this everlasting now is, the isness of reality, the foundation, the quality, the taste of air, you know, just this space, whatever this is, this thing that we can't even talk about because it's not there, but we're a part of it. Consciousness. So there's two things that we've recognized so far. We're in a temporary experience, and this temporary experience is being held by something eternal. So Ramana Maharshi, to bring him back, Sri Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, we bring him back again, right? He says, reality must remain real. This is the definition of reality. Real. That which changes cannot be real because it's changing. Something that's real means it doesn't change. It's real. It's real. So, what is real? A name, any form, anything that changes, that's the universe that we're in. So the universe isn't real. So now we recognize that there is some real part of reality. We don't know what it is, but it's there. So now we have to start seeking this realness. People call it God. You know, I've hated this term my whole life. I've never liked the term God. It's like, oh, God, you know, like I relate it to the church. I see that none of the people in my life, even though they claim to be church people, people of God, they're all bullshit, you know? We all know this. Anyone that's raised in the U.S., most of our parents are drunk, drug addicts, or, you know, whatever, and they claim to be people of God. It's a lie. But if we can begin to see God in everything, something happens. It makes loving people easy. And you don't even have to say God. That's just me, my personal reconnecting with that word and sort of reclaiming it and not letting it have that power over me of like relating it and associating it to like the falsehoods of the church and the people I was raised with. The universe, the great spirit, the mystery, Mahadev, any word that you relate to. If we can begin to see this mystery in every person, someone's mad. You know, someone's mad, they're angry, and they're cussing at you or talking shit to you or just being annoying. This is your spiritual practice. Use this opportunity not to get sucked into their emotion, but to be a mirror. See them as God. And when you see them as this mystery, as this divine light, it makes them feel stupid when you don't give them a reaction. It starts to wake them up. It cracks their character. They start to see, oh shit. You break their matrix. You're not playing their game. So when you can break this and you're not reactionary to the world anymore, you just look at people with love. You look at people and recognize that they're here lost in this situation, just like you, like me, like our parents that are drunks and drug addicts, like the people in the street, like these assholes on Twitter, like everybody. We're all just here trying to figure it out. We've all been assholes. We all know what it's like, you know? So we can't pretend we don't know what it's like to be a dickhead because we are all dickheads. Being a human being, a byproduct of being a human being, means you're an asshole sometimes. So if we begin to see people as love, as God, as the universe, as the mystery, it is a spiritual practice for us, and it also is a spiritual practice for them. And that's an easy practice. No crazy meditations needed. No years of silence. No psychedelics. No nothing. All there is this self-inquiry. Begin to question yourself. What am I? What am I a part of? What is this world? Start to be a spirit scientist. Examine it. Examine this world. Your body's changing. You know, some of you might begin to look at yourself and you see that you're getting old in the mirror. Okay, there's this part of my body that's changing, yet this thing that's watching my body change is not changing. I still feel the same. You all still feel the same inside. I'm the same inside as I was when I was a kid. we all feel this in our quiet moments, you know. And you know, a lot of people look at psychedelics as being a sort of, I don't know, like a bad thing. It's a shortcut, maybe some people say. It's definitely not a shortcut. It's very hard work. Some people look at it as being like, I don't know, they just look at it as being like not real spirituality because you're using something to produce an effect. Where I would argue, hey, you have to meditate to produce that effect, you know? You have to do something. And I'll argue, I'll even take it one step deeper. That meditation is only, you're only able to meditate because you have a relationship with the plants. You can only breathe, you can only focus on your breath because the plants are allowing you to do that. By the plants' existence, we have this symbiotic relationship with plants that they allow us to breathe. So even your meditation is a psychedelic experience that is being blessed upon you by the plants. So we need to stop demonizing nature. We need to stop looking at nature as being this bad thing. You know, we eat plants to cure our body. We eat plants to stay healthy. There are also plants that do this for your spirit, that cure you of the traumas of your brain. And we call these plants in modern culture the psychedelic plant. Many different cultures throughout history have realized this. They have their own names, their own practices, their own ideas about what this is. The Mazatecs of Mexico, they had the mushroom. They now call it Los Niños Santos. The Aztecs had the mushroom. They called it the flesh of the gods in their Aztec language, Teotihuacan or something like this. The Shipibo tribe of the Amazon found all types of plants, uni, ayahuasca. So, you know, this is not indigenous people don't look at it the same way that our Western minds look at it. We have been demonized. We have been brainwashed with the war on drugs. We have been brainwashed with Christianity that looks at these things as pharmakia. We have been brainwashed by governments that wish to control our mind. So a lot of us have bad ideas about these things, but our ancestors understood this very perfectly. Europe to Asia to the Americas, we all knew that there was a intelligence to the plants in which we can communicate with, and this communication will give us health, will give us spiritual benefits, will give us the physical benefits, and it's a connection that we've lost. And I think that yoga, the connection with the body, the connection with the spirit, the connection with the great mystery, the plants are another limb of yoga. And I actually will argue that you cannot, especially like as an American or someone from the United States or someone that's not raised in an indigenous or spiritual tradition, you cannot even process psychedelics properly unless you have at least a month of yoga training. That's my personal opinion. Other people probably agree. I mean, obviously, some people that don't have any yoga experience can benefit from psychedelics. But to properly grab that experience by the balls, you have to have some basic yoga understanding. Ram Dass stopped doing psychedelics when he began meditation. Did he? How much time did you spend with Ram Dass to say that, to know that so confidently? And I don't know either. I'm not saying anything. But you know what Ram Dass also said? When someone said, Ram Dass, how was it that you were able to stay on this path your entire life? And you know what Ram Dass said? Ram Dass said, I trust the mushroom. Hey, Bay, thank you so much for the donation. I love you also. Sending love to everyone here in the chat. May we all have a good day, night, and remember we are all one. I pray anyone suffering feels this love lightens their burden. I felt it lighten my burden. We can do a little prayer. Should we do a little prayer? I think it's really cool to reclaim these traditions. So many of us were raised Christian. So many of you guys in here were raised Hindu. Maybe some were raised Muslim or whatever you were raised, you know, Mormons or anything. But there is this, there is, all of our traditions have this idea of prayer, of mantra, of repeating something sacred. And I've been reclaiming this practice a little bit, and I think it's cool. I think that we should begin to take this practice and stop associating it with the bullshit that we were raised with. And we can like start to like really utilize these spiritual practices. And I've been praying a lot lately, and I know it's always cringe when someone wants to say a prayer. And when someone does it around me, I usually am like, oh God, here comes this fucking Bible thumper. But it's actually really beautiful. And I would like to share a prayer with you right now, inspired by Hey Bae. Because she just did a little prayer for us. I think it's nice, you know? Look at the numbers in the chat room are already dropping. Dragos, thank you so much. Tatmasi. All right, look. Great mystery. Divine nature that we are all a part of. I just want to say some words that'll make us just remember for a moment that we can just take a moment, just for a second, to be thankful for this universe and this earth that just gives and gives and gives, no matter how much we effortlessly and blindly take and take and take. This earth has just given us so much, and we just take and take and take. And I want to be thankful that no matter how much we take, we're still here. And it's still, this earth is still showering us with love. It's still raining. It's still producing food for us. I just want to take a moment to recognize all the suffering that's happening around the world right now. In our own lives, we all have our own little personal issues that we deal with day to day. But like right now in this moment, we can just be quiet, just be still for just 1 second. And you can feel that like everything is okay in the stillness. And that this quietness is always available to us because it's the truth of existence. All this noise, all the chaos of life, at the end of it all, will be still and silent and in the hands of something so complex and so divine that it's beyond comprehension. And it's actually, we are in the hands of that right now. And when you're feeling a little sad, you can remember that. And I want to just remember that these people in Palestine, the people in different parts of the world, in India, here in the United States, in Mexico, wherever your home country is, your ancestors, I pray that we can all continue to love even though it's hard. Even though the world is hard, I hope we can continue to not let that steal our love from us. And I want to be thankful for all you guys in here, because like, I have no idea where my life would be, who I would be, if I didn't have this YouTube channel, if I didn't have you people in here to share with me, to listen, to express yourselves, to just be another limb of me. You know, I know like, it's weird for me to be a person having you guys, you know, like, can you try to just imagine what that's like? And it's very beautiful for me, and I don't express it enough, but I really, really appreciate it. I really appreciate having people that I might not even know be there for me. I want to be thankful for our families, for our pets, and I want to be thankful that we have bodies that allow us to move, you know, that we are capable, that today and tomorrow we can go through this life and be better. And for those of us that don't have these capabilities, I pray that you have the strength in other areas, you know. And that's all I want to say. Amen. Har Har Mahadev. Thank you, Jade. And I missed another donation. Mark, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate the donation. All you guys, I appreciate these donations. I'm inspired now to start my own channel. Yeah, you should start your own channel. Because, you know, starting this channel, there is so much, I'll answer the ancestry question in just a minute, but there is so much force in the universe that wants to capture our attention. It doesn't want you examining your own attention. It doesn't want you in control of where your attention lies, focusing on something powerful, focusing on something real. It wants you focusing on bullshit. It wants you focusing on consuming things that are going to keep you distracted, keep you lost in this attachment to attachment to attachment type of mindset. And I think starting a YouTube channel, wow, thank you so much, Zibion Win. Wow, I really appreciate you guys. It is very meaningful that you guys are leaving these donations. God bless. And what I'm saying is that, like, going on Google, these companies that want to control our attention, and we're giving people an opportunity to focus elsewhere, to focus somewhere else. You know, like, if you start a channel, any of us, if you start a channel, that's like saying it's a revolutionary, rebellious act, especially if you start a spiritual channel that's trying to wake yourself up, that's trying to wake other people up, because it's giving people, it's breaking that attachment to bullshit, that like capturing of attention to BS. If we all start doing that, if we start filling this space with, it's playing the system is what I'm trying to say. Thank you again, Lady Jane. What are my thoughts on the inner child? Well, I think that's what it's all about, right? All of spiritual practice is about getting back to the inner child. I think when you're a child in your room and you're coloring or you're painting or you're drawing or you're playing and you're just lost, there's no concept of time. Your day is just done. You know, you're running outside and then all of a sudden the streetlights come on. This is the yogic state, the meditative state that all yogis, all spiritual practitioners are trying to get back to, is this childlike state. And to answer the ancestry question, my ancestry comes from the Middle East and Europe, from Iran, Syria, over Mediterranean areas. Then like Northeast Europe. So like England, and there's some Spanish in there. I'm a mutt. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you. Can I get everybody? Ryan Frank with the bank. Gonna spank me on that. Lauren, you bought 3 shirts last week. Wow, thank you so much for buying those t-shirts. My mom runs that website. That's all my mom. My mom does everything. That has pretty much nothing to do with me. I just post it sometimes to keep my mom happy. But like, her basement is filled with those t-shirts and she ships them out. Since she like packages them and she prints the little label and she, you know, does all that stuff. So you support my mom when you buy those t-shirts. Thank you so much. Don't worry, man. Your donation is your love. That's the best donation, is love. And I'm starting a nonprofit soon. So if anyone ever has, the nonprofit is actually already started. I'm in the process of getting it functionable online. And when that starts, I don't want any more donations on YouTube. I want all the donations to go into the nonprofit, which will be used to help people in this world. Plant trees, help poor people. And I would prefer donations to go there, because YouTube takes a big chunk of these donations. God damn, it's cold today. grow with the errands of work and life, how do you present and full of heart? How do you present? How do you be present? Oh, okay. Sorry, I read that wrong. How do you be present and full of heart? Well, that's the practice, right? The practice is, how do you remain spiritual in a chaotic world? How do you not get pulled into the tides of society and still maintain your composure? This is a good question. And this is the nature of spiritual practice. And this is a day-to-day practice that we all need to do. How do we stay full of heart? How do we not react to this world when we're in it? When some, you know, dickhead cuts us off in traffic, how do we bring ourselves to the present moment and just breathe instead of flicking him off out the window or trying to cut him off back? Or, well, this is our own shit to figure out, you know? There are many suggestions through the sages throughout time. And there's definitely enough suggestions out there that you can find something that'll work for you. I suggest you, whatever you find spiritual, like when you sit there, close your eyes, think of what is spiritual. Do you think of meditating and yoga? Then explore that world. Do you think of nature and waterfalls? Then maybe you need to go in and sit in those places. If you think of Jesus, then maybe you need to explore the teachings of Christ. And examine what the sacrifice of Jesus meant. What did it mean that God sent his only son to be sacrificed for all of humanity? That God is willing to say, look, this is the most brutal thing I can do, and this is to show you all in some weird way that I love you. Examine what that actually means. Because on the surface, it seems like a very an oxymoron, a bit of a contradiction. But if you start to examine these stories, there's profound wisdom in them. There's things that you'd be like, oh my God, like, it's very deeply symbolic. And I don't want to tell you what that means, because we're all going to come to our own conclusions. And I recommend that you explore whatever this is, whatever your interest is, explore that. The spiritual path is easy, but not simple. Thank you for the donation, IFM Gamer. Jesus, IMF Gamer says, Jesus is on the cross in our brain, connecting the spine. His head is our pineal gland. Enter the stars, search Donald Marshall, human cloning. Nice. You know, something interesting is the cross was a symbol that was found around the earth in different cultures. It's not specifically to the Christians. The Maya were also using the cross. If you go to Palenque and you see the tomb of King Pakal, there's a cross on his tomb. It's the Ceiba tree, the sacred tree of life. And it represents the directions. It represents the four people, the red skins, the yellow skins, the white skins, the black skins. It represents the corn, because corn also comes in these colors. It represents the four types of people. So there's lots of this cross symbol also meaning the heavenly world, the up and down, the heavenly world mixing with the earthly plane, the horizontal. So there's lots of deep meaning in this. Am I a Christian? I am a Hindu, Muslim, Christian scientist. Buddhist also. Yeah, also a Rasta. I'm all of it, baby. I'm the new religion. I am a product of the new religion. Of nature and of God, of Jesus, of Shiva, of Parvati, of Guadalupe, Toyanzin, Pachamama. I see they're all true. Hindon't. He ain't a Hindu, he's a Hindon't. Yeah, I'm a God scientist. How many times did you do yoga before trying psychedelics? Interesting question. Ironically, it was the opposite. I had a psychedelic experience in my early 20s. I was about 21 years old. I took mushrooms in the forest by myself. I thought it was going to be a very beautiful time watching the sun go down. This is the second time I've ever taken mushrooms. The first time was deeply spiritual, deeply beautiful. So I thought I'd replicate it alone by myself in the forest. It was crazy. I had these deeply profound visions of what consciousness was, what the nature of reality was, different ideas that are found in kind of religious scriptures. The mushroom was kind of revealing religious scripture to me. Vijay G, thank you, homie. I really appreciate you, brother. And this mushroom experience gave me these deep realizations that it sent me on this journey. I was like, holy fuck, am I just schizophrenic or did I really just have this profound experience? I began searching online. I began looking everywhere, which led me to the discovery of all kinds of shamanic worlds. I didn't even know that this was possible. I didn't know that people could take these compounds and have spiritual experiences. This isn't something that's taught to us in our culture. So it didn't seem like it just felt fake. Like that's not what it is. I had a psychotic break and I am somehow, you know, like trying to establish it as a spiritual experience, but it was a real spiritual experience. And that I actually found throughout time, through many cultures, the Greeks, the Hindus, the Christians, all of these, you know, ancient pagan traditions and South Americans and Mexicans, and they were all using plants to invoke a spiritual experience. The Mayans, the Aztecs, the Zapotecs, the Shipibo, I mean, numerous cultures. The Lacandon, the Wirarikas. So I was like, holy shit, I just found something. And I was working on a music festival, and this music festival had these monks there. These monks would distribute these books on yoga, the Bhagavad Gita, different books written by Srila Prabhupada. I've got these books. I read one of them, the Bhagavad Gita, and it was saying the same exact stuff that the mushroom was revealing to me. So I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. So these people in India are eating mushrooms? They have to be, because how else do they know this? That's what I was thinking in my head. So I go to India. I go to India and I start this journey. And so for me, it was the psychedelics that led me to yoga. It wasn't yoga leading me to psychedelics. Arvo, thank you for the donation, my brother. I found your content during COVID. It was a light in a very dark time for me and my family, and we all, and with all my heart, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate it that you found something in my videos. This is kind of what I was trying to say earlier, like when I said, when I was doing the prayer and I was saying like how it's interesting for me to have people in my life that I might not know, but like we're both kind of, we have a strange spiritual relationship, and it's not like we need to be intimate with each other, but we are intimate with each other. And for me to just be like this guy walking through life, you know, I grew up in Detroit and I've had all these things I've gone through that, you know, I don't share with the internet, you know, my family life and all this stuff. When I'm in my life, it's not like I'm Dakota of Earth on YouTube and I don't have this inner image of myself. Unless like I have to snap into the character when I'm doing like a, you know, like a YouTube thing or something, you know. But when I'm in my day-to-day life, I'm just like a normal guy, obviously. But like I don't realize the impact that this YouTube channel has on some people sometimes, because like I'm just here in my life and I'm so focused on whatever's in front of me, and it's very weird for me. I mean, it's definitely, you know, very beautiful, but it makes me feel like, it doesn't feel like it's me. Does that even make sense? Like when people say this kind of stuff, it doesn't feel like it's coming, like they're talking to me. It feels like they're just, I don't know. It's a weird situation to be in. I mean, if you think about it, this is the beginning of the internet. The internet has been around, what, 15 years, 20 years, as far as like consumers having it in their homes, maybe even less than 20 years, you know? So like, this is the start. This is the start of people using the internet. You know, this is like the people that have YouTube channels are kind of pioneering this, you know, you think about pioneers and wagons traveling across the United States, trying to discover what's on the other side of the country. We're doing that. You know, these content creators, we are the ones that are pioneering this strange metaphysical world. And this is the first time in human history that anyone has had this kind of attention. So like, to be a human being, we're not supposed to have attention from 300 people at once, or thousands of people at once, or, you know. So it's a very unique experience for me to get love from people or to get hate from people. And it's a spiritual practice for me. There ain't nothing in this. I'm just sipping nothing right now. So do you guys think we're all God incarnate or individual souls? I think it's the both. I think it's both. Both are true. It's like the sun. Although the sun and the sun rays are one thing, that one ray travels somewhere and it penetrates. It travels until it penetrates something. So each ray of the sun has its own life. It has its own destiny. It has its own conclusion. It has its own journey that it must go through. You know, when your body is being hit by sunbeams, each of those beams' destiny was to reach your body and to heat you up. So in the same way, they are the sun, but they have this individual journey that is like a symbiotic relationship. We are both the source and the light beam coming off the source, traveling to its destiny. Does that make sense? When is the Ohm hoodie dropping? Well, the thing is, for me to make that hoodie, they're like $40 a piece. 40 US dollars for me to print one of those hoodies. So for me to sell that hoodie will be very expensive, but I'm probably going to do it anyway because I like that hoodie. And I mean, fuck it. If people want to spend the money, then hey, you know, whatever. You get to rock a badass Ohm hoodie. But I love that hoodie too, so I think I might do it. All right, you guys. This has been a productive morning for me. It's only 10:30 in the morning. We already busted out an hour live stream. Maybe now what do I do now? Now I keep working. I guess I'll start editing some videos. I got tons of crazy India videos, man, that I haven't edited. Me hanging out with like these guys that were used to chop people's heads off. Me hanging out with these guys that rebelled from society and tattooed their entire bodies, but they live in these villages, so they're not even really in society. I got tons of crazy India videos. Shall we chant a mantra? Let me see if I can. This, I love this. Hanuman. So this is a song, a poem written by a Indian mystic named Tulsidas. And during my first trip to India, I was there with Krishnadas. Krishnadas is a famous singer. And I was spending my trip there with him, traveling with him. And he sings this poem by Tulsidas. It's called the Hanuman Chalisa. And I recorded him singing this. And I listen to it sometimes just to bring me back to my first trip to India. And we'll close on this. It's a little long, so I know some of you are going to leave, but It's really beautiful, and we'll just play it anyway, just because why not? YOLO. Jai Hanuman. Hanumanji. Hanuman is the monkey god in Hinduism. The pure devotee of God. He's ripping open his chest, and inside is God. Hanuman represents the monkey because, like our minds are like a monkey mind, jumping from attachment to attachment. But through the love and devotion of God, Hanuman has controlled this. And like I said, when he's inside of his heart, it's not filled with greed and lust. It's filled with the divine love of Sita and Ram. Jai Hanuman. Anjani Poja Pavan Sutanama Avirabhi Kramajarami Umati Nivar Sumati Kesani Kanchana Varan Viraj Subesa Nanana Kundal Unchit Kesa Atma Jaya Dvaja Viraj Ande Mujha Jami Sankar Suman Kesari Nandan Teja Pratapa Mahajaga Vandan Diryavan Guni Ati Chatur Ram Kaj Karibe Govat Ram Charitra Sunibe Korasiya Ram Lakan Sita Manavasiya Sushma Rupa Dari Siyari Nekama Vingata Rupa Dari Lanka Jarama Bhima Rupa Dari Asura Sanghare Rama Chandra Jegaj Samare Vaisa Jeevan Vakan Jiyare Shri Raghuver Harashiyo Nelaye Raghupati ki di mahut barai Umma mama priya var jai samabhai Sahas badan tum rojas gaave Has kai shri vati sand lagaave Sankadik brahmani munisa Narad sharad santa mahisa Namo Kuber Dija Pal Jahate Kapi Kovid Kahi Sake Kahate Tumma Upakar Subhiva Ikina Rama Melaya Raj Padadis Tumma Roman Trabedishan Mana Lankeshwar Vai Sabjan Jana Tuga Sahasra Yojan Sab sukla hai tumhari sharna Tumhara chakkao ko dhalna Aapan tej samaro aapan Tino loka haakte kaante Bhuta pisaachan kat nahi aave Mahavir dham dham sunaave Sase roga hai sab pira Japat nirantana anumat vira Sankat te hanuman chulave Man kam vachan jyan cholave Sab par ramat pasvi raja Din ke kaj sakal tum saja Or manorat Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram. Have a good day, everybody. Jai Shri Ram. Hara Hara Mahadev. Much love. Jai Jesus, the King of Hearts. God bless. Alhamdulillah.